I found something in one of my studies. Can I just read it to you real quick? I think it'll bless you, it'll bless me. It's all about worrying. Worrying about tomorrow does not help either tomorrow or today. How many of you know that's true? Jesus said it in Matthew's gospel. If anything, it robs us of our effectiveness today. How many of you know that's true? What are we doing? We're like taking money out of the bank that's not there yet. Like you get your income tax return and you're taking, and then you find out you owe them. That's trouble. You understand? The Bible says not to worry. But listen to the description they give here, which means we will be even less effective tomorrow. Someone has said that the average person, ready for this? This is what caught my spirit, crucifying himself between two thieves. Interesting statement. And I like what he says after this. He says like this. One of the thieves is regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. Remember I had preached a message and I said something and I think I startled a couple of people. But you and I can live a life with no regrets. Say that, no regrets. No regrets, no regrets whatsoever. Why? Because if we lead our life according to the word of God, God will protect us and cover us in every aspect and every way. This is, and Jesus said it so nicely, the foundation. Say the foundation. It's not. This is it. Say the foundation is God's word. And you've heard me use the word a situation ethics. You hear me talk about it often. That's what our culture has produced. But then the Holy Spirit said something to me on Thursday morning when I was teaching that situation ethics was birthed out of the womb of there are no more absolutes. Because what does the world say around us? There are no more. I mean, have you heard that lie being, there you go. There are no more absolutes anywhere. Well, see, that's not true. But if you believe that, then that changes everything the Word of God says. Because how many of us know right from wrong? We all do. It's something built in. The Word of God tells us all that. There's no secret. But when you believe that there are no more absolutes, and Jesus and the Word are synonymous with one another, then whatever the situation is, I make a determination right then and there what my choices will be. You can't live like that. You've got to live on the absolute truth of what the Word says. And it's not that we like it or don't like it. It's if we're born again, filled with the Spirit of the living God, there's no problem when God says something, we say, you got it. We do, sir, go like, sir, yes, sir, not a problem. But today, the world is feeding off of lies. Everywhere you look, there are lies that have given birth to just more lies. It's simple. You can cheat today, and we don't do anything. You can lie, not a big deal. Well, it's a big deal according to the Word of God. We're supposed to live like born-again, Spirit-filled believers, and Jesus said, you're the light and you're the salt of the earth. Both of those things change everything around us. Amen? There is one absolute, and it's called the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, I mean Jesus. I have decided personally to build my life on the foundation of the absolute truths of God's Word. Now, you and I are oddballs today because we believe the Bible. Well, that old-fashioned book, had one preacher say, you mean you still have Wednesday night services? Yeah. Well, we don't. I said, well, good for you. Why do you still have them? God hasn't told me to stop having them. You teach on a Thursday morning? Yeah. Why are you doing that? God told me to have a class on Thursday morning. How long have you been doing that? I forgot how long. I remember we had one person left, then we had two people left, and they were a little bit higher up in age. I said, well, when they're gone, what am I going to do? I'll just come and talk to the garden over here. But now it's grown, so we don't have very many seats on a Thursday morning. I never quit doing it because God never changed my assignment. God's called me to preach the word. That's my assignment. Wherever it may be, no matter how many people are there or not, I'm going to keep doing what he's called me to do. If he doesn't give you a new assignment, then you stay with the one he's given you. Amen? How many of you thought when you got married, everything would change, you'd have no problems? But then you found out that when you throw your dirty clothes towards the hamper and they don't make it, the floor is not good enough. Marriage does not make life perfect. But what makes life perfect and mature is having a relationship, say relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing perfect on planet Earth, but Jesus is perfect. And guess where he lives now? Is on the inside of me and on the inside of you. Glory to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Say glory to God. So if I build my life on the foundation of God's word, I'm going to find victory in every step of the way. Say victory. Can I give you some scriptures? Well, that's good. I'm going to do that anyway. Listen to what it says in Numbers 23:19. God is not a man. Well, that's a good start. Because how many of you know Jesus even said he saw what was in their hearts. He didn't trust men. Amen? Didn't trust them. Listen, for God is not a man that he should lie. Isn't it interesting that lies show up right away? There's truth and there's lies. When I used to counsel people, I always tell them right from the start, there's always three sides, your side, his side, and then the truth. Because sometimes you'd ask, One time I did this, could you both tell me what addresses you're living at? Because the stories were so different, I didn't know if they were in the right house. Well, no. There's a truth we got to find, because what you're saying and what you're saying is not going to give me the truth. For years, people say, I'd like to counsel with you and your wife. Is your spouse coming? Oh, no. Well, don't come. What good is that going to do? To become what? One flesh. So all you want to do is hear yourself talk. Then go stand in front of a mirror and talk to yourself. If there's two people in a marriage, then both of you need to talk. Both of you need to express what's going on the inside of you. Then we can get to the truth and we can bring a repair to your marriage. I'm in a blood covenant with my wife. Marriage parallels the blood covenant that God has established with us through Christ Jesus. Today we live in a throwaway society. We throw everything away. We don't repair things. We just go out and get a new one. And we can see that even in marriage, if you don't mind. I wasn't supposed to be here, but I am. We can see the same thing in marriage. Well, if it doesn't work out, we'll get a prenuptial and we'll just quit. No, that's not what God's word says. It says, till death do you part. See, if we do it God's way, that won't be in the back burner all the time. Five men just fell over in their seats, and that's all they can say. Okay. Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good on it? See, if man says something, not always will it happen. But when God says it, Bible says, Hebrews, it says that he made an oath with himself because he couldn't trust man. When the Bible talks about Abram and he made a covenant with him, he put him to sleep. He had the animal split in half and he walked through. Why? Because he knew if he cut a covenant with man, he's not capable of keeping that. That's why he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and established a blood covenant with him. So you and I are going to be all right. I'm all right. Yeah. Listen to what it says in Old Testament scripture again, 1 Kings 8:56. There has not failed one word of all his good promises. Can I read that one again? There has not failed one word of all his good promises. Here's the promises, and they have never failed. Well, I tried that, it didn't work. Then you're a liar. Because God's not a man that he can lie. He can't. It's not working because we're not plugging it in. If I walked around here with a lamp, beautiful shade, three-way bulb, you know, the new bulbs are so bright that it's like you're on the runway at an airport. Whew, okay. And I don't plug it in, what good is it? I have to plug this in order for it to work. The Bible says, we're going to go to Mark 4 anyway, so I just yell it out to you. Mark 4 talks about the seed. What is the seed? The word. Jesus said it. The seed is the word of God. But the seed has no chance of growing unless it's placed in the soil. And what happens? We said it a few weeks ago. That when you put a seed in the ground, now listen, it doesn't matter how old the seed is. Jesus said in Mark 4 that they produce after their own kind. That's why when we put an offering in or tithe in, we always name the seed. We do that because every seed has a name. How many of you know that's true? You can't put a seed in the ground and say, what are you growing? Nothing. Because that seed has to produce after its own kind. And when that seed, no matter how old it is placed into the ground, the earth around it begins to attack that seed and starts a germination process. Something's going to grow. So our hearts, say our hearts, and you can read it in Mark 4. Someday I'll preach on that. On Mark 4, it talks about if our hearts are good soil, what's going to happen? We're going to be able to produce. Some produce for a little while, some for heard. It was a great message, and then we never see them again. But then there's, say, good ground. Then what kind? 40, 60, and 100. So then even in good ground, we need to attend to the seed of God's word. We have to attend to it every single day. I can tell you days when I've had to rush out of the house and had no time to get into the word. My days are not the same as when the word is the priority. Remember I talked about priority? Priority protects your time. Priority protects your life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. One of the first things he said in his earthly ministry, seek first, say, seek first the kingdom of God. Then everything else, what? Will be added unto you. Amen? I'm listening to my wife in prayer and watching the folks around as they pray. It has turned into a dynamic tool of God. Because every church needs prayer. Can I go a little further? Every saint needs prayer. Prayer is not a 911 call to God. Our lives should be saturated with prayer. Jesus was saturated with prayer, which is conversation with God on a daily basis. Say daily basis. You're not going to make it, and I'm not going to make it on a little snack. I'm here to encourage you and build you up, but tomorrow's coming. And then there's nobody preaching to you. Nobody's talking to you. And the crowd's not there. And the people aren't around. Hey, how are you today? And the worship's not there. You and I have to learn how to develop a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. We've got to learn how to feed ourselves. How many of you know, feed ourselves? Weren't you happy the day of you had children when the kids started feeding themselves? How many of you were happy? Listen to another scripture. Can I do that? Psalm 89, verse 34 says this, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. That's somebody I can trust. I can trust the word of God. If I can express it another way, this is my answer book for life. If I have a problem or I have a question about something, or if I'm in a storm in my life, this is where I go. When I was in the military and working on airplanes, they had what they call tech orders. Everything was spelled out from beginning to end. And you had to follow them to the T. If not, you'd be in big trouble. These are my tech orders for life. They help me in every and any situation I've ever found myself in. Glory to God. Can I read another scripture verse for you? All right, and then we'll talk a little bit more, then we'll get you out of here. Isaiah 55:11 says this, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. From whose mouth? From the mouth of God. What did Jesus say? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm saying what God said. What kind of results you think I'll have? I'll have God kind of results if I'm following the word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. I think I told you one preacher, pastor, some lady came up to me at the end of the service and said, I talked about the Holy Spirit three times. It was too much. I looked at him and laughed. I said, send her to my church. We'll help her out. He said she was almost like offended that I talked about the Holy Ghost. I said, well, the next time you see her, if she comes back, tell her that Jesus spent like three chapters in John talking about the Holy Ghost because he was leaving planet Earth. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but listen now, it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Guess what? The word of God will prosper as long as the seed gets into the heart of a man and a woman who loves God and is hungry for God, and it'll produce after its own kind. Say glory to God. Come on, hallelujah, glory to God. Listen to this last scripture, move on, all right? Mark 13, verse 31 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means ever, say ever, pass away. Never pass away. That's what I like about praying mothers. I love it. Because when a mother starts praying, guess what? Those words stay in the atmosphere. Oh my God, listen to that. A mother's prayers, even after she's passed, has created an atmosphere where what she prayed is still going to go and is going to attack the soul of that young man or that young woman and bring her back and bring him back. Tony, I always talk about Coach, but Coach had that experience. Praying grandma, why do you think he's sitting here? Why do you think he sometimes fills this pulpit? Because God had a praying grandmother. Well, Tony was out there, God knows doing what. And when he ran out of himself, like the prodigal son, the prayers, hello now, the prayers of grandma picked him up, cleaned him off, and had him come all the way back to where he belonged. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap offering. Come on. Come on. My God. Today, there's a terrible identity crisis. Identity theft. Everybody's always stealing something. But I'm here to tell you that if you and I know who we are, those kind of things won't sneak up on us. Who in my Thursday morning class, they started taking communion together and things changed? Raise your hand. They go, one, two, three, four. I gave out communion cups and I said, take this and share with your spouse or if you're widowed or whatever, just take it alone. I gave them 2 weeks' supply. Testimonies come back about how God changed their marriage and changed their lives by taking. Because, listen, we don't do this right. You don't mind if I yell at myself? Because as often as you get together, we do it once a month. I get together with God every day, so I take it every day. When the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me, and if we start remembering all that God has done, and the word remembrance means make a monument. Make a monument, not of stone, but make a monument that's visible in your eye gate out of my word that tells you I've done all of this because I love you. I love you. Do you ever have somebody just put their arms around you, whether it was a father or grandfather or your husband or what? Amen? It's great when somebody wraps their arms around you and you can feel the love that that person has towards you. Well, the arms of Jesus are like this all the time, wrapping his arms around us on a daily basis, telling us he loves us. We can make a mistake. We can do this wrong and do that wrong. But his love, the blood of Jesus, covers every single one of them. How many of you have a past? Nobody does. Well, when I was in, be quiet. God's forgiven your ugly past. If you say you have a past, when it comes to God has reduced everything, all of your regrets are balled up like this, and Jesus threw them away. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. Can anybody give me a definition of that? No. As far as the deepest ocean is, our sins are there. They're never going to come back again. My sins are forgiven. I had a bunch of them I was going through. But God forgave all of that. Amen. He'll even forgive us what we're thinking in our heads. Amen. I say these things on a daily basis. I'll pull one or two of them out. And I talk to myself about who I am in Christ. Once you know who you are in Christ, the identity crisis is over. Because today, our atmosphere is filled with words like this. Well, I just don't feel. I don't care how you feel. How you and I feel about any situation or ourselves does not deter what the Word of God can do. Listen to what it says. One of my most favorite of all time. 1 Peter 1:23. Some of you probably know it. I'll just read it to you. Fair enough? We are born of a divine, incorruptible seed of God's Word. Can I read that again? We are born again by the divine, incorruptible seed of God's word. So our spiritual life, we're reborn how? Out of the word of God, divine, my God, incorruptible seed of God's word. No wonder the enemy came in Mark 4 immediately when it had no chance of growing, because he knew that incorruptible seed got on the inside of you and I. He was finished. Amen? Glory to God. Listen to what it says, 1 Peter. Having been born again, there it is. All past tense, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, hang on now, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Say abides forever. So if it abides forever, that means it's taken residence on the inside of you and I. Say it's taken residence on the inside of you and I. How many of you pray every day? How many of you have conversations with God? You talk to God. I do. Tell another believer, I talk to God every day. You do? I've had people say, you do? Yeah. Really? I said, yeah, the Bible tells us we're like Jesus, and he talked to the Father every day, and Jesus is on the inside of me, so he teaches me how to talk to God every day. How do you talk to him? Let me give you an example. It's a beautiful day, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the robins that showed up early. Wake up in the morning, honey, you look beautiful. Can I give you another one? Christ, listen, is our life, and Christ lives in us. Christ lives in me, and he lives in you. Can I give you some scriptures? Because I'm giving you the truth of God, absolute. Say, these are absolutes. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Now, here's what you can do when you read these. I live, but I put Paul lives by faith in the Son of God who loved Paul and gave himself for Paul. See, when you make it personal, it just changes everything in your heart. That's me he's talking about. That's not just some random scripture out there. He has made me my God. He lives on the inside of me, my God. Can I give you another one? Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. That's what my life's all about. For me to live is Christ. Listen to another one. Colossians 1:27. Christ in Paul, the hope of glory. I'm hope for somebody else because Christ lives on the inside of me. Can I tell you a secret? I now have given more time to God in the Word, and it's made a difference in my life because I've given up all the things that a pastor would do that have to be done, and other wonderful people around me are doing them. So now my focus is on the Word. My focus is on the Word. If I had to do it over again, I would have gotten a job and hired people to do the things I was doing and still preach on a Sunday morning. But there are so many demands on a pastor's life that sometimes everybody thinks that the pastor is the one who climbs the ladder and paints the building, that he's the one who finds out there's any TP in the restrooms and replaces that. We have no more paper towel. No, that's not something the pastor should be doing, but many times they wind up doing that because there's not enough help. We have great help in this church, paid staff and volunteers. Where are the folks that work in the food pantry? Raise your hand real quick. Food pantry folks. Say glory to God. I enjoy watching them come down the hallway with a cart full of groceries and going to the front door and talking to people as they hand the groceries out. How many of you work next door and help with the clothes? All the ladies, look at them, there's a whole bunch of them missing. Is that a joy or what? Putting clothes together so somebody will be able to put them on their back. I would be doing that, and my wife would be doing that, but we don't do that anymore. Why? Because we're giving ourselves more to the Word, and God also told us to give ourselves more to pastors and help them in their ministries grow and mature. Say glory to God. I want to see spectacular, supernatural, miraculous churches all over this capital region area. I want to see that thing happen. I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen. Give you another one, can I? Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hey, the rapture's coming, guys. The loved ones that are going ahead of you are going to come back. They're going to look great, and you're going to look great. You're going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye, and this whole mess down here is going to be over. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. I said we have a job to do, a job to do. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says it this way, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in Paul through my flesh. That means my flesh is under submission to the Spirit of God, because my flesh doesn't have a whole bunch of good ideas. How many of you notice that? Listen to the scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is Paul talking. I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the what? Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Again, the word dwells means take up permanent residence. Permanent residence. When I wake up in the morning, there's somebody on the inside who's taking permanent residence on the inside of me. Permanent residence. And if Jesus has taken up permanent residence in you and I, there's no way that we're going to run our lives by the flesh, because the Spirit of God's got a hold of us. Amen. Our ideas may be good ideas, but they're not God's ideas. My good ideas were never to be a pastor, a senior pastor, and start a church. All the things I asked God I wouldn't do, I wound up doing them. So the best thing is to do this. I surrender all. Just do it early in life. Amen? When you're at the altar, say, honey, I surrender all. Anyway, move on. It didn't go over. I thought it would, but I don't know. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. I belong to somebody. I belong to the God class. I belong to the Spirit-filled class. I'm not ashamed to say the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me. I speak in tongues. I believe in miracles. I believe in the lost coming back. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. All things are possible if you just flat out believe it. One of the things we've learned along the way in life is simply this. I don't have worries, I have concerns. Remember we talked about this? What we've got to do is let the concerns we have the Word of God attack the concerns and never get into the worry and the doubt and the fear stage, because that's where the enemy has his playground. I have a concern, and I tell him about the concern, and then all of a sudden it's gone. If not, what, say this with me, that when you feed, it's going to grow. Whatever you feed is going to grow. I've been feeding Paulie and James, and they went and got married, and they're still getting fed, and they're still growing. Say huge. No, I'm not going to sell you a car. I knew the way you guys think over here. Not going to sell you a car. Go over to Mark 4 for a minute. We're almost done here. Say, we're almost done, Pastor. I know sometimes everyone thinks I preach so long on it because it's a powerful chapter, but Mark 4 has a lot more to it. Give me a few more minutes. Would you do that? As you go along in Mark 4, you come towards the end of the chapter. I want you to see something now. Verse number 34. Let's go there for a moment. He did not tell them anything without a parable. But privately to his disciples, those who were his own, he explained everything fully. Later in John's gospel, he says this, I'm no longer going to talk to you in parables because you've matured and grown up. Now I'm just going to give you the truth. Amen. Glory to God. Listen to what it says. On that day when evening came, he said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. See, if the Lord says something through his word, you can be sure and you can count on it happening. And I preached for years, the reason Jesus was asleep in the backside of the boat was because he had to go to Calvary. So whatever happened between there and Calvary was meaningless because the Father was in control. And then the other day when I was reading this scripture, the Holy Spirit said this to me. The Bible says that Satan left Jesus for a more opportune time. When this storm came up, it wasn't a God storm. Jonah had a storm because of disobedience, and God created a storm for him. It was interesting. It says, this is how silly men are. He tried to run from the presence of God. This is paraphrase. You are stupid. Because the Bible says wherever you and I are, he's there. Amen. Well, I'll go to a motel. He's in the room. Don't be silly. One guy especially, I remember over the years, I couldn't stop messing up with his wife. And I said, next time you think about messing up, take out the wallet and look at the picture of your kids. And if you can get by that, God help you. You understand? If God's given you children, he's given you a beautiful wife or husband, keep the centerpiece of God's word there. Amen. To wreck our paths. Fair enough? When Jesus, listen now, he was going to leave him for a more opportune time, the opportune time showed up right here. Listen, Jesus was what? Asleep on the backside of the boat on a leather cushion, and a great storm rose. Am I right? All these men were fishermen in his boat. They were used to storms, but we ain't never seen nothing like this. And as soon as Jesus was woken, he stood up and he speaks, first of all, to the storm. because he knew the existence of the storm was not his father, because his father directed him to Calvary. And as soon as he stood up and spoke to the storm and said, lie down and be muzzled, the whole thing quieted right down. And the first thing Jesus says is what? Where's your faith? See, if you're going to make this walk with God, and I'm going to make it with God, we've got to have faith. That's why I like to read the 11th chapter of Hebrews all the time, to see all the men and women who by faith lived their lives supernaturally and God was with them, all right? Now listen, the enemy knew that if Jesus made it to the other side, there was somebody there that he had control over. I won't read it, but I'll just tell you. When he got there to the other side, who runs up to the boat? The possessed man. The possessed man wasn't speaking. Because what does the possessed man, quote, say? What do you have to do with us? Those were the demons speaking out of him. And he asked them, who are you? And he said, we're legion, we're many. Now, that didn't stop Jesus. He didn't go back to his prayer room because he had power and authority. But they didn't want to confront Jesus. Listen, he said to them, if you want to go into the swine like you're asking, you can go ahead. And all 2,000 of them jumped over the side. But listen to what it says. I'm just going to read this one little thing. Verse number 10, and he kept begging him urgently not to send himself and the other demons away out of that region. When Satan had control of this man, they couldn't keep chains on him. Anything they put on him, he broke away. The people of the region were in total fear of this one man who had a legion. So you start messing with my God, you start messing with me, then the region that you have control over, that fear. Right now, there's a great thing about fear going around. Don't listen to the fear. Because what people react to can be greater than the issue. My brother lived in Atlanta for a lot of years, and one year he was there, and they predicted an inch of snow for Atlanta. The shelves cleared right off. TP was the first thing to go. The next morning, the snow melted. Fear drives people. But God wants to give us the peace that passes all understanding. See, if the disciples, listen, I got to close here. If the disciples remembered what Jesus said, they would have said, no problem, let them sleep, we can take care of this. But they were still in training. See, you're still in training. I'm telling you, you can walk up to whatever storm comes your way and stand and keep your ground and speak to the storm. Jesus spoke to everything. Jesus said, you can say unto this mountain, which means anything that's in your way, any obstacle in your way, and you could do what? Speak to it. Speak to it. Say, speak to it. I can speak to that. What am I speaking to? What's bigger than I am? But we have to be prepared in our hearts. David, God told David, Goliath's yours. But David still went out and got himself five smooth stones in preparation. Amen? Nehemiah had soldiers, listen, on the wall, putting it together, sheath, sword in this. He had other people protecting and guarding. God gave him a project to do, and he was going to finish it. But at the same time, he was prepared. See, whenever you go into a storm, you've got to be prepared with the word of God in your mouth and begin to speak to that storm that lies before you. Satan looked for the more opportune time, and he said, he's sleeping. These guys aren't ready for what I'm going to throw at him. And when this man with the legion of demons, listen, got set free, the whole region changed. See, all you need is one bad dude, and he'll change the whole region. But God did a supernatural thing. Say supernatural. If there's something in your life that's stopping you from doing what God's told you to do, speak to it and tell it will not, it will not, it will not. I said it will not, it will not, it will not control your life or my life. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That goes for you and I. And put yourself personally in there. Greater is he that is in Paul than he that is in the world. I have Christ on the inside of me. I got the creator of the universe is living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can tackle anything that comes at me. You can tackle anything that comes at you because the greater one lives on the inside of me. I know who I am in Christ. Say, who I am in Christ Jesus. Once you know that, there's no identity crisis. There's nothing that has to do with what am I going to do and how am I going to handle it. Christ has already handled that because the promise is in the Word, yea and amen. Say yea and amen.
Amen.
You're watching by television, internet, listening by radio. I want to give you a simple invitation. Harvest Church will stand up with you. Say, today, I've been challenged with the Word. I know Jesus loves me. I know He cares about me. And today, I'm accepting His finished work on Calvary, where He died in my place and set me free. Today, I make a decision in asking Christ into my life. The Bible says this way, listener, old things pass away, all things have become new. That's exactly what will happen even as we're speaking. Find yourself a good Bible-believing church. Find out the pastor's vision and help him fulfill that. Amen.